Very good. Well, I will call the Thursday, May 30th, 2013, Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority Board meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilson.
Present by teleconference.
Mr. Sheldon.
Here.
Mr. Hughes.
Here.
Mr. Arvin.
Here.
Commissioner Butcher.
Here.
Commissioner Bell.
Here.
Chair Short,
yes.
You have a form.
Thank you. Moves to item 3, agenda approval. I'm not aware of any changes or amendments.
No,
Mr.
Chair.
Leonard? All right. Motion to adopt would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Hearing none, we have an agenda. Brings us to item 4, roll call of staff.
Okay. Let's start with Ted.
Ted Leonard.
Here. Tracy Rusinato.
Born
ADA.
Emily Born ADA.
Valerie Walker, Ada.
Mark Davis, Ada.
McAlam,
Ada.
Guest.
Sonny
Morris,
Corey Ford.
David Mayberry, Carl
Moore. Scott Bruceor, Lake Energy.
Jerry Agronoff, Lake Energy.
Jim Bradner, Alaska Journal.
Jeff Lutheran, PhD.
Any public on the phone?
Okay, thank you. Brings us to item 5, public comments. Is there anyone in the room that would like to make comments? Seeing none, we will close the public comment section, move on to item 6, prior minutes. We've got minutes from the April 25th, 2013 meeting. A motion to adopt would be in order.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any changes, edits, or amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. We have minutes. Brings us to item 7A, resolution number G13-10, appointment of officer of the corporation. Motion to adopt would be in order.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to move adoption of G13-10.
Okay, there's a motion to adopt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded by Mr. Hughes. Any comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I ask that my comments in the prior board meeting of AEA be rolled forward into the ADA minutes, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the board? We'll spare you from the speech again, Michael. Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkin.
A hearty yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Mr. Arvin.
Yes.
Commissioner Butcher.
Yes.
Commissioner Bell.
Yes.
Chair Short.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Brings us to item B, which is the introduction to Link Energy. Mr. Leonard?
Yes, Chair. As the board knows, that ADA has been involved and is involved with the roads to resources and the governor's plan to move the construction of infrastructure to reach and access important resources of the state. One of those roads to resources is the road to Umia, and Link Energy is one of the main developers of resources in that area, and we invited them to come today to give a presentation of Link Energy and where they're going in the state. And we have been working with them, and Scott Bussard, but is here. He's the president of their oil and gas division and would give us a presentation of Link Energy.
Great. Welcome. I noticed, just to set expectations, I noticed your presentation has 53 slides. So I want to sort of set some time limits here. So I'd say we spend the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes if we get into a lot of questions. Shoot for a goal of by 2:00 being finished.
Absolutely, and we can zip through it fairly. There's a lot.
I got nothing against a lot of slides,
here, but yes,
Mr.
Chairman, members of the board, I appreciate the time that you are spending with us, and I will try to be as expedient as possible. Link Energy is an Australian-based company that's listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, and we're a fairly diverse energy company. And I'm just going to give you a brief introduction of where we sit in Alaska and a bit about the company itself, and we'll talk just very briefly about the projects that we've got going forward. Our holdings in the state are the Umiak field, as Ted alluded, which is a very large oil field that was discovered about 70 years ago and was part of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for quite some time. It became available to public, and we acquired it about 2 years ago, and we plan to do development. It is in the NPRA, and we do plan to move oil into TAPS and start production sometime in the next 4 or 5 years. We additionally have acreage in the Cook Inlet Basin, oil and gas assets, a natural gas prospect. We have drilled one well. We do hope to drill additional wells. We are have appealed to the Department of Natural Resources to hold the unit together until we're able to go out and drill another well. So those are our oil and gas assets. Again, Link Energy is a diverse energy company. We hold resources across four continents. We've got over 3 million acres of coal tenements. We've got 22 million acres of oil and gas leases. Our head office is in Brisbane, Australia. We've got offices around the globe. I run the oil and gas business out of Houston, Texas, and we have assets in Alaska, the Gulf Coast of Texas and Louisiana, as well as in Casper, Wyoming. We've got four business divisions. We've got clean energy, which includes underground coal gasification and gas-to-liquids technology. We have conventional oil and gas. We have coal assets, and we've got a very significant asset in South Australia of about 16 million acres of potential oil shale that we are actually working on acquiring a JV partner for that. Again, Link Energy in the United States has offices here in Anchorage, as well as Casper, Denver, and Houston. We've got about 150 employees and contractors. We've got a significant amount of coal acreage for underground coal gasification. The Wyoming Powder River Basin of about 184,000 acres, in North Dakota, in the Williston Basin of about 8,300 acres, and here in Alaska of about 168,000 acres of potential underground coal gasification coal tenements. And we have been and will continue to work with the state toward developing these assets with our world-leading technology of underground coal gasification. In the oil and gas division, of which is under my tutelage, we've got producing oil fields in the Powder River Basin of about 23,000 acres. We've got 13 producing fields in Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coast. We have, as I said, the Cook Inlet Basin acreage, as well as Umiak in the NPRA of about 19,000 acres. We plan UCG projects in North America and the United States, potentially here in Alaska as well as Wyoming. In the past 12 years that the company's been in business, we've spent several hundred million dollars developing what we consider the world-leading underground coal gasification technology. We've operated a demonstration plant, the only one in the world that actually takes underground coal through a process, creates synthetic natural gas, and with that, from that synthetic natural gas, we create synthetic diesel and/or synthetic jet fuel. And we are the only company in the world that has ever turned coal into liquid fuel. We also own in Uzbekistan the oldest operating underground coal gasification facility in the world. It's been in operation for over 50 years. Again, we've validated our technology. Our chairman, our CEO, drove a car across Australia using diesel, that synthetic diesel that we produced through our process. And he also flew a jet across Australia with fuel that was produced through our process as well. We believe that this is one of the fuels of the future. Obviously, in Alaska, with the shortage of gas for power and the shortage of jet fuel for both the military as well as private industry, we think that there's a home for us in this UCG to GTL process. It's not what I do. I'm not an expert, so I would probably have to defer any questions to someone that is. And again, as we said, you know, what we've been is to date more of a demonstration company, and our focus is on commercialization of this technology. So it's identifying globally where suitable coal is to develop our underground coal gasification and look at downstream opportunities. Obviously, where you got cheap natural gas, UCG doesn't necessarily work, but where natural gas is in short supply, or where liquid fuels are in short supply, we think that we do have commercial outcomes that can be produced from our technology.
Excuse me. What's usable coal from your definition? What sort of coal is?
It's typically too deep to mine. As far as the actual quality of coal, you just stepped one step beyond my area of expertise, unfortunately. But we will be glad to get.
Maybe you can make a note of the question.
Absolutely. We'll get back to you with specific answers to any questions about this technology. And I apologize that I'm still trying to figure out this oil and gas business, and I haven't really gotten too far down this road. And I've only been doing it for 35 years. So this is our focus, is to go to regions around the world that are long on coal but short on liquids and gas. It's a very clean process that all happens underground with a very small footprint on the surface. And again, we're looking at regions around the world that we can extract coal to create synthetic gas instead of synthetic liquids in order to produce power and or fuel. And we're working with governments around the world, Poland, Russia, South Africa, here in the U.S. and in Alaska specifically, where the demand for gas is high and the supply is low. The other byproduct of our process is CO2, and where there's we create a significant amount of CO2, so we're very intent on putting our UCG projects close to oil fields that are in need of enhanced oil recovery, where CO2 would be used for that enhanced oil recovery. For instance, our Powder River Basin assets, we have a very large oil field that could be developed through tertiary recovery or enhanced oil recovery using the CO2 that is a byproduct of the UCG process. Obviously, we need support from government regulatory agencies in order to succeed with our commercial outcome. Real quickly, this is our footprint in the Powder River Basin, predominantly in Wyoming, but some in Montana and North Dakota. We've actually put a permit forth to the state of Wyoming for a demonstration facility, and we expect that should be approved this year. And so we may do what we call Gasifier 6, which would be the next level of demonstration facility to prove the technology once again to people in the U.S. And then here in Alaska, again, we've got 168,000 acres of coal licenses, both in the interior of Alaska, excuse me, as well as in the Cook Inlet area, and we've actually started drilling some wells, some core holes to find what is the proper coal that we could use this process. And again, our footprint is international: USA, Canada, South Africa, the Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Mongolia, China, and Australia. And I'll speak to something I know a little bit about, the oil and gas division. We've acquired three major assets in the last few years, last 2 years. The Wyoming asset is only producing about 200 barrels a day, but it would be an enhanced oil recovery project with a CO2 supply. So we're working on a CO2 supply that may be other than UCG in order to fast-track that project. We acquired this Umiak field in July of 2011. Third-party estimates that there are 1.2 billion barrels of oil in place with somewhere between 150 and 200 million barrels recoverable with an ultimate production rate of around 50,000 barrels a day that would be going into TAPS. We've completed our first winter appraisal program, and we'll talk a bit about that later. And then additionally, we've got our Gulf Coast assets in and around Houston, Texas, where I live, and we've got 13 producing fields that produce around 6,000 barrels of oil per day. From a strategic standpoint, we target about 8,000 to 9,000 barrels a day on the Gulf Coast. We continue here at Umiak. We'll have another winter drilling program. We've announced the results of our first program. We are updating our reserve report based on those results. We have been working since last year on the acquiring the necessary data for an environmental impact study. And we also are beginning engineering for a road and a pipeline that would ultimately carry oil from Umiak to TAPS. And again, we are designing our phase two winter drilling program as we speak. And in Wyoming, we're doing detailed engineering for our enhanced oil recovery project. In Alaska, we've got an office just down the road, 3000 C Street. Our general manager, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, is Corey Feige. And here in Alaska, as we've said, we've got both clean energy and oil and gas.
Devil's Canyon, all the way north, can't be accessed by any science going on.
Huh? I'm sorry. Whoever's on the phone need to turn your phone on to mute. Thank you.
At any rate, as far as the science studies go,
hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you need to turn your phone on to mute or hang up. We're in the middle of a meeting.
Yes, that was it.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry about that. Okay.
All right.
At any rate,
hello?
So much.
Hello?
On
hello? 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 Yes. You are in the middle of a NATO board meeting. You need to hang up your phone or put your phone on to mute.
We're having a conference right now.
You're on the wrong conference.
Well, we've been on it for a half hour.
Kren, do you want to...
Can we get your name, please?
This is the Coalition for Sustainable Dam Alternatives. And this is through the Northern Environmental Center.
Yeah, you've just entered the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority board meeting.
Perhaps CSDA could hang up and redial the conference call.
Could we turn
off the call? Yeah, why don't we dial back in?
Do we have anybody else?
Yeah,
we don't have anyone else on. Can we just hang up on?
Aiden, some information here. We do. I'm going to give you the phone number that we dialed into in the PAC code and tell me if this is what you're dialing into also. Are you there, Ada?
Yes.
We dialed into 800-791-2345, and the PAC code was 35323. Is that what you have?
No, not even close.
Well, why don't we take a five-minute break?
Sorry.
So we'll take a five-minute break, and you can handle this.
For the Sitna Dam, if in fact hanging up and redialing back into that number doesn't work, here is an alternate number that everybody should write down. This is another telecom possibility.
Hey, do you want to email that up to the
Sitna
Dam instead of announcing it at the ADA meeting?
Well, that is an excellent idea. First, let's try calling back. Yeah. So thank you, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Okay, do we have anybody left on the phone?
Gary's here.
Okay, Gary, who else is in the house
there? Yeah, Brian's still on.
What about you, Commissioner Bell?
Let's continue, and then we'll monitor the phone. Hello?
Hello?
Come and join us. All right. Well, let's give it another shot, Scott.
All right. What's happening?
We'll give you the 5 minutes.
I was looking and going, oh, man, this is
a strange event.
Okay. So I won't get a lot of details into our leasehold, but we do have a Cook Inlet leases that we have formed a unit called the Anchor Unit. And then we'll talk a bit more about Umiat. Umiat, as we said, is in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. It's right on the border of the Colville River. It's about 100 miles west of pump station 2 of the TAPS line. As you see, the path that you see there in black was our snow path this year that we built for our winter drilling program. As you see, we go across ASRC lands as well as state lands to get to the pipeline. And it's the village of New Ixod is about 60 miles north. The village of Anaktuvik Pass, I believe, is about 80 miles south, as you can see on the screen on slide 21. Here we go again.
I think Susan and Brian and Gary, perhaps we'll hang up. We'll take a 5 minute break, hang up, and then call back in and see if we can get this fixed.
All right, will do.
Okay. Sorry about this.
She was to call the cell conference people, too.
Under, same.
Coffee break. Perhaps someone.